The presidential campaign is not taking the weekend off, and Wisconsin's been at the center of the news. That's where we'll start off this week on the State Capitol Report. I'm Rob Barrett, filling in for Joy Cardine. It's 7 minutes after 7 on Monday, September 3rd, on the Labor Day holiday. Later in the hour, we'll talk about a legal challenge to Wisconsin's wolf hunt and some experiments with merit pay in state schools, but we'll start things off on the campaign trail. First off, we got a visit from Vice President Joe Biden. He was in Green Bay yesterday, and WPR reporter Chuck Kornbach was there. Chuck joins us by phone. Thanks for joining the show.
Happy Labor Day.
Glad you can be here, Chuck. And now, how did Joe Biden's visit go?
Well, it seemed pretty enthusiastic crowd. Mr. Biden seemed very fired up, was gaffe-free. He sometimes has made statements that the other party has ridiculed, but not too much of that yesterday, I don't think. He was standing in the National Railroad Museum with locomotives behind him, restored Pullman car off to his side. He said that was sort of his element, that he's a railroad guy. He discussed all the times he's commuted when he was a senator from Delaware, commuted by rail on Amtrak well into the thousands of times. So he's used to rail cars and railroads around him. And then, of course, being in Green Bay, and the football season just about underway, he talked about the Packers. Also, you know, sort of getting in that he, like Paul Ryan, is a Catholic. Biden raised as a Catholic. Talked about in some sound we have. He talked about learning about the Packers from his Catholic high school headmaster, who was from Green Bay.
Let's hear it.
I tell you, homeroom in the fall at Archmere Academy was a lot different than any other time of the year. That's when we learned the names of the 12 apostles. Bart Starr, Paul Hornung, Jimmy Taylor, Max McGee, Boyd Dowler, Ray Nitschke, Willie Davis, Herb Adderley, Don Chandler. You get the point.
Biden, of course, talking about Packers greats from the 1960s, only came up with 9 before he cut himself off, but got the crowd additionally fired up. He then, of course, then turned to more serious topics, as I said in my story a few minutes ago, criticizing Paul Ryan's speech at the GOP National Convention last week and Ryan's plans to change health care programs and give a tax cut for the wealthy.
We heard how the crowd responded to the Packer news. How did they respond to the more substantive parts of Biden's speech?
Well, many people, of course, sort of Biden on a Sunday, on a Labor Day weekend, you're probably going to draw very committed folks, and that's what happened, and they were very happy on the way out. I met a couple by the name of Reed and Patricia Schoonover, who say they're frequent listeners to WPR, by the way. We thank them for that. Of course, Mr. Schoonover said he liked how early in the speech Biden praised the Steelworkers Union and unionized paper mill workers.
You know, I have been a union person all my life, and if it weren't for unions, I probably wouldn't be as happy as I am today.
And Patricia Schoonover said she liked Vice President Biden's remarks that attempted to, she said, correct GOP errors.
I personally think the Republicans are kind of in a non-reality zone. I don't know where they get their reality. I think they make it up as they go along, quite frankly.
Now, there were about a dozen Romney-Ryan supporters on hand across the street from the Railroad Museum before the speech, but they weren't around afterwards to respond to what Biden actually said. So we had the emailed statements from folks, Senator Ron Johnson, and then the Romney campaign accusing Biden of not offering solutions to the country's problems.
Now, Chuck, do you get a sense we've seen Marquette polls in previous months showing the Obama campaign with a pretty significant lead in Wisconsin? Now the latest poll, a statistical tie. Do you think Vice President Biden's visit is an acknowledgement that, hey, maybe Wisconsin isn't a gimme?
Well, and then last week, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC, claimed that Wisconsin was always in play. It was always a first-tier battleground state. But yes, sending in the vice president, sort of shoehorning him in on the way to Charlotte, North Carolina, I think is an acknowledgment that things have tightened up. The polls, while a statistical tie, I think the Democrats are still suggesting the President Obama ahead of Mitt Romney, but it is closer, and this was an attempt to cut into the spring of Paul Ryan's poll bounce, so to speak, if there was one, and bring things more solidly back into the Democratic camp. We'll see what the things are like coming out of the convention, the Democratic convention this week in North Carolina.
Chuck, thanks a lot for the coverage and for joining us on this holiday.
Thank you.
That was Chuck Kornbach, WPR reporter. His colleague is sitting across the table from me now. State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson is here. Sean, good morning.
Hey, Rob. Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Now, what do you think? Are you getting a sense from people at the Capitol that, hey, Wisconsin is really a battleground state in the presidential election?
People at the Capitol, a lot of them have gone out to work in that battleground election, whether it be in local races or in statewide races. It's just that time of year. But I think that a pretty good barometer is who comes to Wisconsin from other states, and the fact that you have Joe Biden coming in here is a pretty good sign that the White House is taking Wisconsin seriously at this point.
Now, you spent some time looking at the speeches, a lot of Wisconsin stars at the Republican National Convention last week. Where do you want to start?
Real quick, start with Governor Walker. Obviously, it's been a huge year for him, and has become a Republican star to a large degree. But did not have a hugely prominent role in this convention. It was given a huge ovation by the crowd when he was initially announced. But as far as his speech goes, it's something that's very familiar to people who've heard him in Wisconsin. Hit a lot of the same points that he always does. And really, at times, he if there was anything different, it was just the way he spoke kind of glowingly about Mitt Romney and about the pick of Paul Ryan as vice president.
With the announcement of Paul Ryan as his running mate, Governor Romney not only showed that he has the experience and the skill to become president, he showed he has the courage and the passion to be an exceptional president.
And the pick of Paul Ryan as his vice presidential nominee there. So that was the gist of the governor's speech there. Paul Ryan, though, made a lengthy speech at the convention. You heard Vice President Biden reference, a couple of the points that Ryan made when he spoke in Green Bay, talking about the deficit commission. But Ryan said a few things that had fact checkers kind of scrambling. One of the points was when he talked about cuts to Medicare. And said that basically that those cuts to Medicare, were endangering the program. The cuts that the Obama administration had proposed in conjunction with the Affordable Care Act.
And the biggest, coldest power play of all in Obamacare came at the expense of the elderly. You see, even with all the hidden taxes to pay for the healthcare takeover, even with the new law and new taxes on nearly a million small businesses, the planners in Washington still didn't have enough money. They needed more. They needed hundreds of billions more. So they just took it all away from Medicare. $716 billion funneled out of Medicare by President Obama.
That was Paul Ryan speaking at the Republican National Convention.
And the Obama campaign's retort on that is you include the same cuts in your budget. I mean, the Paul Ryan authored budget that passed the House included $716 billion in cuts to Medicare. And when you talk about cuts, I mean, they are, both sides talk about them as efficiencies or savings that they're going to find, and those are going to be reduced payments to Medicare providers, hospitals, over about a decade. But it's something that Paul Ryan and the Obama administration have both latched onto in some form. So, to hear Paul Ryan refer to it as a cold power play, obviously raises some questions about, what about your own budget? He says it's different, but there are obvious glaring similarities there. One of the other comments he made referenced his hometown of Janesville, Wisconsin, and talked about when then candidate Obama visited Janesville back in 2008.
When he talked about change, many people liked the sound of it, especially in Janesville, where we were about to lose a major factory. A lot of guys I went to high school with worked at that GM plant. Right there at that plant, candidate Obama said, "I believe that if our government is there to support you, This plant will be here for another 100 years. That's what he said in 2008. Well, as it turned out, that plant didn't last another year. It is locked up and empty to this day. And that's how it is in so many towns, where the recovery that was promised is nowhere in sight.
So if you back that up and kind of parse his words, first of all, what he said about the president's remarks, if you go back and listen to the president's remarks, it's basically accurate. I mean, the president visited the Janesville plant that day in February 13th, 2008, as a candidate ahead of the state's Democratic primary that year. And, you know, he spoke at length, and there was a point in the speech where he said that if the government's there to help you out in these ways and help you become more fuel efficient with your vehicles, I believe you'll be here for another 100 years. At that point, though, you got to ask what Paul Ryan is driving at here. If the point is that it was a failed promise by the president because he was president at the time the plant closed, that's inaccurate because the plant was announced to be shuttered when George Bush was still president and Barack Obama was still a senator and a candidate for president. If the point is, as you know, the congressman makes it, sort of the larger point that he makes in the rest of his speech, that you know, that this government help to try to drive the economy is the wrong way to go, you have to look back at the policies we're talking about here. And, you know, Paul Ryan was a supporter of the federal bailout of General Motors and Chrysler. He supported government money, accelerated government money to help them retool and become more fuel efficient. And so if you try to break down where the congressman is going with that, you know, again, that's another statement that raised questions, plenty of questions at the convention.
There's a sense in all the coverage we had and hearing reports from the convention, I sense a lot of excitement from Wisconsin Republicans. This seems like a good time to be a Republican in Wisconsin. Is that, do you get that feeling when you're at the Capitol?
Definitely. I mean, you look over the last couple of years, we've had quite a few elections, and there was a thought, you know, among Democrats especially, that the 2010 wave election was a fluke. And that, you know, if voters had a chance to do it over again, they would see things differently. But obviously, Republicans got their favored candidate, won the state Supreme Court race, very contentious state Supreme Court race last year. They did, you know, Republicans lost three state Senate seats in the recalls, but Governor Walker won his seat, which was the nationally watched battle. And so you had that, you know, election in the middle of June where Governor Walker was able to get more votes than any Republican had ever gotten outside of a presidential race in a statewide race in Wisconsin. They feel like timing was pretty good for them to you know, have that wave of enthusiasm in midsummer. You know, they feel like they're in good shape to, you know, roll into November and have, you know, have that same machine support Mitt Romney.
And on the Democratic side, Senate candidate Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin is going to be speaking at the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah, she's going to be one of the primetime speakers on Thursday, I believe. And this is something that her Republican rival, Tommy Thompson, did not have a chance to do at the Republican National Convention. I mean, there were, it was a crowded list of speakers there, Republicans with national credentials that did get to speak at the convention. Former Governor Thompson did not. So for Tammy Baldwin, it's a chance for her to kind of elevate her profile in a very important race nationally for both sides as they grapple for control of the Senate, and to introduce herself to any Wisconsin voters who maybe don't know her yet. Although, you know, I don't know if a convention's a place to do that, but certainly, you know, certainly the Baldwin campaign would rather have her speak than not.
Hmm. That's WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson. We've got some more state government news coming up. A look at the weather today in Wisconsin. Partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with showers and storms possible, lows in the 60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the low to mid 80s. Around the state right now, Madison 61 degrees, Milwaukee 71, La Crosse 71, Superior 63, Wausau 62, and Green Bay 66 degrees. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine today. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine this morning on the State Capitol Report. We've been talking about the presidential conventions for the Republicans last week, and we spent a lot of time on the Joy Cardine Show talking about that. Here's what's coming up this week. Tomorrow at 7, a political scientist will preview the Democratic convention. Wednesday at 7, Frederica Freiberg of Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now is going to join us from Charlotte with an update, and we'll talk to Week in Review regular and Democratic delegate Christine Bremer-Moogley. Friday at 7, Charles Franklin will be on. He does that Marquette University Law School poll you've heard a lot about. He'll discuss President Obama's and Vice President Biden's speeches from Thursday. And then it's the Week in Review. Conservative Keene Winters of Wausau and progressive Kathleen Falk will be on to talk about the Democratic National Convention and other top stories of the week. Right now, Sean Johnson, state government reporter, is here with me. He's brought us up to date on Wisconsin's role in those conventions. I didn't want to overlook one of the stories from last week, Sean, this ongoing court battle over the new wolf hunt law in Wisconsin. What's the latest from the courts?
Yeah, on Friday afternoon, a circuit court judge in Dean County temporarily halted part of Wisconsin's new wolf hunting law. And, you know, just kind of go back over that issue. The wolves were just recently delisted in Wisconsin. As other states have done, Wisconsin moved to create a wolf hunting season. Sort of the unique factor in Wisconsin's wolf hunt is that dogs would be allowed for the hunt. A coalition of humane societies sued to block that, to halt it. On Friday, a circuit court judge said that at least temporarily the wolf hunt can go on, but the wolf hunt with dogs cannot happen. So you have a situation now. Obviously, the humane societies were pleased, and they say that, you know, they think that they will prevail as more information comes out about this in the full court battle. But you had the Department of Natural Resources arguing that they were required to have this wolf hunt as part of the law, that there's not an option for them to not have the wolf hunt with dogs. And that's a point that attorney Cynthia Hirsch made in court on Friday.
The problem is that there is no option in the law to issue licenses that don't involve the use of dogs.
So essentially they're saying it's not like we have discretion here. The dogs are part of the hunt. The legislature and governor said so. Judge Peter Anderson, though, basically shot back that you're going to make this happen, or the department will make this happen. I've said so, essentially.
This court determines what's possible for the defendants. They're parties to an action before the court. And the court is saying to the defendants, don't issue licenses that authorize the use of dogs.
So Judge Anderson is saying that, you know, you could figure something out, put a sticker on the licenses or whatever that say no dogs. But as of right now, under this temporary, this temporary action by the court, you can't use dogs in a wolf hunt. And I should mention, by the way, the thing that humane societies are contending is going to happen if you have wolves or dogs being used to hunt wolves is you're going to have a lot of carnage, a lot of dead dogs, and that the wolves will end up, if they're hunted by dogs, they'll be going after, pet dogs elsewhere. This is sort of the litany of claims that they make. The judge didn't say one way or another what he'll ultimately rule, but that's where things stand as of now.
You know, after all the news in Wisconsin over the last year and a half or so and the recalls and whatnot, this is kind of a weird issue.
It is kind of a weird issue. I mean, it's a wolf hunt, but it's not your typical wolf hunt. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not the only state that's doing this.
But it's the dog thing.
It's the dog thing. And I remember covering the public hearing on this. There were wildlife biologists who testified, said, I think a wolf hunt is it's a great idea. It's a way to control the population and manage the population. But the biologist who testified, at least the hearing I was at, said the dogs we don't care for. Mm-hmm. The legislature, though, listened to the hunting groups who adamantly wanted the dogs, And they say, we love these dogs more than anyone. We don't want them to get torn to shreds. We're going to train them and we'll take care of it. Leave it to us. And that's where things were left. Now it's basically caught up in this back and forth over what administrative rules should look like and what the DNR can do, and we'll see what they can do.
We'll keep watching that one. I wanted to leave this last minute and a half or so to look ahead. Among all those other elections we have going on, we've got an election for our state legislature, which could switch control of the Senate back to Republicans. Are there a couple issues that you think are really riding on this election?
I think as far as issues go, I think everything that's happened over the past year and a half, right? I mean, the Republican agenda in Wisconsin set by Governor Walker, if there aren't issues there that candidates can grapple over, where are you going to find them? And so that's certainly going to be prominent in many of the campaigns with, Democrats portraying it as a loss of civility and a loss of respect for workers on the campaign trail. Republicans saying we made the tough choices and, hey, what's your plan? So, I mean, that's kind of a back and forth you hear generically going no matter what campaign you're paying attention in Wisconsin right now.
And is this one going to get lost in the shuffle? It's been hard getting attention to the Senate race even because of the recall over there and then the presidential election over here. Is anybody going to pay a lot of attention to legislature?
I think in any presidential year that everything down the ticket has the potential to get lost in the shuffle. And so, right, the U.S. Senate race hasn't gotten nearly as much attention as, it probably ought to, given its prominence nationally and who might control the Senate. So, yeah, the farther down you get, those races for assembly are going to be more and more local.
Sean, thanks a lot for laboring with us on Labor Day.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
WPR's state government reporter, Sean Johnson. There is more state capitol report to come after the news. Some schools are experimenting with merit pay or performance-based pay for teachers. We'll talk to an education analyst about that. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in this Labor Day for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.